Okay, so we're just all starting to arrive, I think. And I can see a few people are here already, so welcome. And we're just going to wait for a few more people to arrive. We're 5 or 6 minutes early, so we're just getting going. Yeah. It's great to see some of you. You can always use Grania's joining us. Hi, Grania. Hey. Okay, so I've got to unmute you.
Can you hear me, Tony?
Yep, great. Got you there. Nice to see
I
you.
can't hear you.
You can't hear me. All right. Okay.
Ah, there we go. Just my phone.
Yeah. Hi, Gretchen. Good to see you. I'm just going to unmute you and you should be good to go.
Excellent.
Okay,
And
yeah.
we're recording.
You're right now. You should be right now. And
Okay,
Mark.
hello.
Hi, good to see you. Mark's coming on. Hi, Mark. Can you? Right, you're still muted. Can you unmute at your end? Okay, I can see that I need to unmute you here, so I'm just doing that. Hopefully, it's all going to click in. You're still not unmuted. Okay, looks like you should
I've
be
unmuted
right now.
myself. Yeah.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, I unmuted myself.
All right, okay. Okay, good. So we're all four of us are here. I think
Yay.
there are some people already. We've got 23 attendees as according to the list here already. So welcome everyone. We're all here. This is the team for you to today. And so fortunately, I'm not the main presenter, so I can relax. So Mark's got the main job of that. And Gronja and Gretchen are going to be supporting with additional, information and some tips for everyone here. So thanks for joining everyone who's come in. Let's get into using the chat box, all right? So hopefully you can see there's the chat box there. So why don't you just type in your name there and say where you're calling in from, where you're living, or where you're staying just at the moment. And then we can all see that and share it. And so let's just make sure that everybody can get in there. Right. Hi, Morag from Scotland. Hi, Morag. Good to see
Hey
you.
Tony, you can make sure you let them know to click on all panelists and attendees so that everyone can see.
Oh, great idea.
Yeah, I just clicked on mine and I got to see everyone coming in here. So that's a really great tip. Thanks for that, Gretchen. And so it's really good that we've got a team of people here. So I don't have to think of everything myself the whole time. Right. So, yeah, here we go. Celine from New Mexico. Hi, Celine. And Katie from New York. Brilliant. Nice to see you. Nice to see you here. Pierre from Germany. You're very welcome, Pia. Thanks for joining us. And Connie from Eastbourne in the UK. Hi, Connie. Everett Allen Bellingham from WA. What is WA? Gretchen, what's WA?
Washington.
Washington, that's it. Yeah.
Did she say she's from Bellingham?
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Oh, yay, Bellingham. I have a friend who lives there.
There you go. That's Everett Allen. Yeah. Okay,
And
brilliant.
hi to Francesca. I remember you from Bath 2018.
Hey, okay, and Jane and Em from Oswithiel in Cornwall, UK here, just down
Wow.
Hi,
the road, actually. Hey, so lots of people recognizing each
Wow,
other. You
great.
know, this is a great place to meet up, isn't it? People from all over. Al-Marie from South Africa, Molly from the US, Becky from Illinois. Wow, look at this. Karen, St. Louis, Missouri. Connie from Eastbourne. Lynn from Crete in Greece. Oh, well, yeah, Crete. Okay. Tony and Ali. Oh, hello. That's me, Tony and all, not Tony and Ali. Yeah.
Hey,
That's
Kara.
Fran from Hampshire. Hey. Yeah. Abnia from Mumbai. Hi there. Claire from. Anyway, it's loads of people. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for showing up. Gosh, too many to really mention.
Hey, looks like we have a hand raised already, so you might want to talk about
Oh,
that. Celine is raising her hand.
ooh, that's a bit scary. Yeah, listen, I don't really want to get into raising the hands at the moment. We'll get into that too as we go along, right? So what I'd really like people to do, because we've still got a couple of minutes to go before we're really starting the webinar, but what I'd really like people to do is to, if you're going to ask a question, put a capital Q at the start, right? So if it's just a general comment, like you're just making a nice comment or something, you know, we really like those. But if you're going to ask a question, put a Q at the front, and then I can easily pick it up. Well, we can all keep an eye on it, but I'll be keeping an eye on it, and then we can make sure that the questions get answered. Okay, so that's a kind of a rule for tonight. Really great to see so many people here arriving. So we're already up to 59. I can see that. So yeah, we've got a maximum of 100, but of course, some people are just going to watch it on the replay, which is fine because it is being recorded, and the replay will be available. So Mark is going to be doing the main presentation today. And so he's all set to go. And so there's Claire White saying, I just want to check that no one can hear me and my toddler. I can't see how to mute your mic. No, you're fine. You know, we haven't actually invited you to talk. You know, some people are kind of putting their hands up maybe and wanting to talk. We're going to get into that later, okay? But everyone is muted apart from us four here at the moment. And as we get into the presentation, I might even mute, or Gretchen's already muted and Gronje's already muted herself. So it's just really Mark and I that are on live at the moment with the audio. And so, you know, we'll be bringing people in like that. This is... So Mark's going to do the main presentation. We've got a PowerPoint kind of talk to take you through. So the PowerPoint will be available, and I'll be dropping in the links to those to all the documents that we've got here for you as briefing documents, so you can download those at your leisure later on. Gretchen and Gronje have also been working on some briefing documents as well to support what's in the content of the PowerPoint. So we've got those available for you, and those are going to help guide you with workbooks, case studies and things like that in a bit more depth, because the main content of this is really all about how to do online sound healing effectively. So it's just a general kind of talk about tips and techniques really to help you get going with that, mostly to do with the technology side and how to optimize everything. So we've got low cost, sort of zero cost, low cost, medium cost, and then higher cost packages, solutions there. And also we're covering different platforms and all this kind of thing. And Mark's going to get into that in a minute.
As a Q&A popped up, Tony.
Yeah.
From Mary Beth, and she says, do you have all the participants' video turned off?
Yeah, we can't see any. This is not a Zoom meeting, okay? It might look like a Zoom meeting, but this is a Zoom webinar, right? So what you're seeing here are the four people who are the panelists for the presentation, all right? So everybody else is not showing up live on the video or on the audio, okay? So we're presenting to you at this point, and your main point of contact is through the chat. At this point, I know that at some webinars, we may get into it later on, you know, we can actually invite you to speak, and as long as you've got your camera on and your mic is all set up to go, then you know you could speak perhaps as well. But I know that sometimes that gets confusing for people and it doesn't work too well, so we're just sticking with this for now. We've got a lot to get through actually, but I just want to say, if you've only just joined us, thank you for joining. I know there's more people arriving all the time, and I'm really grateful that you're here. And I think we've got some really amazing content for you today. There is a lot to get through. And Mark is all set to go. So that's Mark down there as far as, you know, it's all set up under me. I don't know where it is for you on the screen, but Mark's just there. So let me just introduce Mark for a minute. Okay, so Mark is our so-called, you know, technical guru. He's been with us for about 3 years now, maybe a bit longer, is it, Mark? Just over 3 years, maybe?
Coming up for three and a half now.
Three and a half now, right, okay. And so Mark has this wonderful background of being not only a great musician, but also a great music producer in a way, because he's been using his home studio, which is kind of where he's sitting at the moment. If you look behind him, you can see these little kind of pods and things, and that's where he's got his kind of fancy mics, and he kind of goes in there and he records his guitar playing and other things, you know, in there. And then he's got his home studio all set up to do the mixing and mastering and editing. And he's produced, I don't know, what is it, like 10 CDs or something now, something?
Oh, I've lost count.
Anyway, a lot of them over the years. And one of them called Mandala, which he's actually sold out of, he told me earlier today, won the award for being the best acoustic guitar album of the year in 2016, I believe. Isn't that right, Mark?
That is correct.
I know you're a very humble person, but you know, so you actually know what you're doing when it comes to mixing and making CDs and audio recordings like that. But alongside all of that, you know, Mark has been working. Originally, went to, you know, like uni college to get trained in computer programming and all of that kind of thing. And he's worked for many years in different settings, different companies, working with computer programming and developing and designing different websites and all that kind of thing. And so it's a fantastic combination. And so we're really drawing on all that experience here to help you to, you know, be successful with online sound healing, because now is the time, isn't it? This is, we're all being called to find solutions like this online with the COVID-19, the coronavirus spreading rapidly around the world. Most of us are in lockdown. You know, we can't do the usual things that we could do with people coming to us one-on-one or in groups. And so we're having to find creative ways forward to do that. And so what we want to do here is to give you the information, the techniques, the data, so that you can do this. But you will need to practice, and Mark's going to kind of go over that. So we're going to provide that for you in this webinar, so that you can therefore carry on. If you're a level one or a level two student with us, and you need to kind of complete to get your certificate, your diploma, then you know what we're going to tell you here is to help you continue on that learning journey, so you can do the workbooks, you can complete the case studies, and you can get qualified. So that when everything opens up again, you know, you can go out there and you can be a practitioner in the normal way that we used to do things. But also, if you're already qualified, or even if we're in lockdown after you've qualified, then these are the sort of things that you can be doing, you know, to really generate an income. So you can carry on having clients, one-on-one clients. You can also do group work online as well. And you can find ways to monetize that and to get paid. So, you know, that's a really important thing. So that's why we're here, right? And hopefully that's why you're here. So if you just joined, hello, welcome. It's good to see you. And then just to briefly mention at this point, then we have Gronje and Gretchen, who are members of our support team. So Gronje's there, she's just going to wave, and then Gretchen's down, you know, as well I'm looking at it, Gretchen's there. Hi, Gretchen. So they're members of our support team. You've probably, you know, been emailing with them and having lots of contact with them already, so you probably know them. But just to say that they also are, you know, fully qualified sound healing practitioners, very talented in many different ways with websites and Facebook and all kinds of different platforms and things like that. And so they've got this wonderful experience to share with us as well today. All right. So they'll be joining us in the conversation too. So thank you. Right. Okay. Over to you, Mark.
Okay. I'm just about to start, but I'll just say right now, if you, seeing you can talk as well, if you feel we reach a place where we need to have a short break and have some questions, then just let me know and I'll pause it.
Okay, so that's a great point. So what I'll be doing is I'll be keeping an eye on the timing, the questions that are coming in, and we will be breaking this up because there's a lot of information that Mark's going to be presenting, okay? And then along the way, I'll probably be breaking Mark's flow a little bit. I'll invite Gronje and Gretchen to come in as well, so we can sort of all mix and match it, all right? So that it's going to be a bit more interactive for everyone, okay? That's the idea. Okay, so let's get going.
Okay. Okay, hopefully everyone can see this, which is the initial page of the PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, I got it.
Cool, that's good. Just takes a little while before you can go on to the next page. Okay, so what I'm going to start off talking about is different platforms you can use for interacting with people online, either in a one-to-one scenario or a group scenario. So the first one to cover, which is quite obvious, which is what we're using now, of course, is Zoom. So Zoom is great for having interactive sessions with your clients. So if it's very much a kind of chat type scenario where you're talking to them and saying, discussing sound healing, or possibly, you know, watching them play their instruments, having a live session one-to-one, and it's all about interaction, Zoom is a good way to go. And one thing that's worth mentioning, and don't forget, all this is going to be available to download, including all the technical information. So one thing to bear in mind in Zoom, most people have it at the default
setting. Okay, Mark, we've got a comment saying, can you speak a bit louder or turn your volume up a little bit?
Yeah, I'll turn it up a little bit. How's that? Is that any better?
That's better. Yeah, that's good.
Yep. Okay, cool. So Zoom is optimized for speech by default, which is what everyone's probably got set at the moment, which works pretty well for talking. However, if you're going to be using it in the context of playing instruments like Tibetan bowls, for example, then it's not really very good, because after a few seconds it cuts out because it's just not designed for that sort of thing. But there is a relatively easy way to optimize it for instruments as well by using the enable original sound feature, which basically means whatever you play into Zoom is what people are going to hear at the other end. So you can play bowls and all sorts of instruments and not get cut off. So that's worth mentioning, because not everyone knows that.
And so we've got another, we've got another briefing sheet on how to actually do that, haven't we?
Yes, that will be in the downloads, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to post the downloads for all these things later on. But just to mention that there is, because Mark's not going to cover the detail of that in this particular presentation, so we're going to have the download.
Yes, it takes about 5 minutes to get it sorted out, but it's quite easy. So there are some limitations to Zoom in that if you're talking with more than one person, so like we are at the moment, even if it's three people, then you've got a 40 minutes maximum time you can use for calls. But so if you want to talk with 10 or 20 people, you do have to subscribe, but it's the prices are there, so it's $14.99 a month in US dollars. And the rest of the prices are there. So if you're going to be using it a lot for groups, that's worth considering. And obviously to use it, you'll need a smartphone or a tablet or a computer with a webcam, which I'm sure everyone here already has. And the audio quality, if you're using the built-in mic on your computer, that's generally okay. It will vary a lot. You know, some modern smartphones can have quite good built-in mics. Some older laptops might be a little bit limited in how they perform. So it's worth bearing that in mind if you're going to be using instruments and doing more than just talking. And we're going to be covering the how to use original sound modes. That will be in the download that Tony's going to make available. I think he's working on that at the moment.
No, not just now. I'll do it all at the end.
Okay, he'll do it later. So the next obvious platform to use, because most people are on it, is Facebook Live. So that's probably better than Zoom if you want a less interactive session. So that, for example, with sound baths, you're going to be the main facilitator of the sounds. People will be listening and watching and might make some comments, but they won't be interacting with a sound bath. They're unlikely to be saying after 15 minutes, "Oh, what kind of gong are you using?" That sort of thing. So Facebook's good because you have full control over it, and the audio quality will be a little bit better.
Okay, just going to interrupt there for a minute, Mark, because we had a message there from Connie Rogers. Thanks, Connie, saying that on the monthly cost issue for Zoom, she's had a message from Zoom today saying that they've lifted the 40-minute restrictions for the time being. Okay, so that probably means that you don't have to purchase their monthly pro subscription in order to be able to have group work. If you turn on the original sound for that, then you should be good to go without having to pay that extra bit. So that's good news, isn't it? Thanks for that, Connie.
It is, apart from me that subscribed a week ago. Yeah.
Well, you only subscribed for a month, didn't you?
So. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yep, so that's good news. Excellent. Yeah. And it's very easy to set up. You just go to the Zoom website and download it, and away you go.
Yeah.
But if anyone has any problems, we've got a good support team here that can help.
Yeah.
Okay. So generally, Yeah, sorry, Facebook. Sorry, I was on Facebook now, aren't we? You threw me by going back to Zoom. So yeah, Facebook Live, very easy to set up. You just click on a go live button basically, and it shows you a picture of you and your audio, and away you go. So what's good about that is you can have a closed group of members only with Facebook. So people that have been invited by you to join the group, so that nobody from outside can jump in on it. So you know exactly who it's going to. It might be 12 or 20 people in your group, and only those people will see it. So, and everyone's been pre-approved to join the group. And what's also good about Facebook Live is it's automatically recorded, and people can rewatch it anytime they like, and they can make comments in real time.
So the point about that, using the private group, because you don't have to use this private group thing in Facebook Live, because you could just stream it to a page, and it could be a public page next, you want. But the point about having it available for a private group is that if you've got some kind of monetization thing going, or you want to restrict it for other reasons, like like to keep the information, a bit more, not public, for whatever reason, data protection or whatever, then that's the reason for doing that, isn't it?
And absolutely.
Yeah. And you've got that ability.
And it might be people who have made a donation to to have the sound bath or whatever.
So, yeah.
But you can, of course, go public. That's another option. And that can be good too. If you're doing like a public sound bath, you could have a link next to it for PayPal donations, so people could enjoy the sound bath and make a donation of whatever they feel if they've enjoyed it. So public can be good too, which of course makes it good for a marketing perspective, because if somebody watching it, then it will pop up on their friend's timeline if they've made a comment and things like that, and you can get more people interested that way. So that's also a really good feature. And Unlike, we'll get onto YouTube next, but just for comparison, you don't need a sort of minimum number of friends or followers on Facebook to use Facebook Live, which is good. And the resolution is a little bit lower than YouTube, but it's still reasonably good. So it's still a good option worth considering. So the next one that everyone knows about is YouTube Live, which, very much in the same vein as Facebook Live, it's great for the sort of less interactive sound bath type sessions. Again, it's very easy to set up. And if you want a sort of closed group similar to Facebook, you can use unlisted mode, and you can email people the URL before the broadcast commences. So they can sort of check their email. All right, that's how I find it. And the unlisted mode is also really good if you want to do a few test runs, and you can do your own broadcast and put it in unlisted mode, then you'll be, if you don't tell anyone what the URL is, you of course be the only person who can see it. So you can do a broadcast, watch it back knowing that nobody else has seen it, then make some notes on what you can improve for next time. So that's quite handy. And it's also good, there are some people, probably not many, but some people don't do Facebook for whatever reasons. So of course YouTube's another option if you have people that don't do Facebook. And it's also very good for higher resolution broadcasts. You can do HD very well, a little bit higher than Facebook. And it can do up to 4K, but I don't really think that's, as we put there, that's not really necessary unless you're going to be broadcasting to 70-inch TVs and people can be watching on that. So I think HD is going to be fine for most scenarios. And of course, much like Facebook, all your broadcasts are recorded for later viewing. You can send people a link, they can view it the next day or whenever they want to. And there was one thing definitely worth mentioning, in that you need to do YouTube broadcasts from a laptop or desktop, unless they've changed it in the last few days. Because if you were doing it from a smartphone, you need over 1,000 subscribers. So it's kind of restricted in that context. And of course, like Facebook, you can make comments during the broadcast. And another alternative to Zoom, I guess Skype is what came along before Zoom. They're both quite similar, both have their pros and cons. Skype has less audio options than Zoom does. you kind of, it's very much you get what you're given by Skype in terms of audio. We had a bit of an experiment last night, and some audio from some people sounds better on Skype. Sometimes it sounds better on Zoom. It really depends on a multitude of factors. There is no best option, but you just experiment and see what sounds best for you. And we also found with Skype, if for whatever reason you want to switch your audio sources, say you're using two different inputs, using a built-in mic from your webcam, and you're also switching to a sound card, then it does seem to have issues with that during a call. And it's got a maximum of 25 people, which of course we got more than that tonight, hence using Zoom. So Instagram, I don't really know much about Instagram. That's actually Gronje's field.
Right. So we'll unmute Gronje and hi Gronje.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hey, good.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah,
good.
Great.
Good. Maybe Mark, if you want to click through the options there.
I can catch them.
Great. Okay, so Instagram is great in that a lot of people use Instagram that don't even use Facebook. It's there's a lot of new traffic to Instagram that isn't going to Facebook, although they are linked. It's great if you are a practitioner, so you're looking to generate an income. It's great in that you can promote yourself so that you could do lots of live videos and your followers will be sent a notification that you've gone live. It's quite easy to do. The one thing is when you're live, you're live. There's no practice run. You're basically, once you're live, people can see that you're live. The quality is not as high as Facebook, but like I said before, you're targeting a different audience. It's easy to set up. There is a sense of urgency when you do an IG live story because it's only available for 24 hours. So it's quite nice if you want to do a mini sound bath or you're promoting your work to then draw people to do a full sound bath with you. So it's kind of more of a taster, I would say. Viewers can make comments in real time and you can save it to your library and watch it again to see how you've done. There's analytics to see how many people were watching it, if people dropped out, when they dropped out. And as I said, it's a great way to promote yourself, but I wouldn't use it as the main platform. Another alternative is IGTV. And the slight difference with that is that that's on your main feed. So that doesn't disappear, but the quality, you could do like a full MP4, like really high quality recording and put that up onto IGTV. And then you could add that as a story. So you've got different options there. The one downside I would say is that unlike Zoom or the other ones, you're kind of hoping that people will click on the link, a PayPal link to donate or to make a contribution to pay for the class. It's not like Zoom where you would send them, upon payment, you would send them a link to join a group. So it's slightly different in that regard, but it's still, it's very popular and it's a really great way to get your name out there. The one thing I would suggest is that you'd need to have an Instagram business account. You don't have to pay for that, but you just have to say that you are a business if you want to run stories and then link it to your Facebook page.
Okay.
And that is me.
And you got to do it on a phone, right? Or a...
You do have to do, you would record it on a phone, and Mark's going to go through different mic options.
Yeah.
You would, have a tripod, an external mic if you want. And you could, I've tested a few myself just with my phone. Mm-hmm. And it's picked up some instruments really well. Other ones, not so much. If you're too close, it distorts. But I've been paying attention, and a lot of other people are doing it just with their phone, and it doesn't sound too bad.
But can you use Instagram with a laptop or something? You know, or is it?
You can view stuff with a laptop, but you would upload stories and recordings, live stories, through your phone. IGTV, you do it through your laptop, desktop.
Ah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so Gretchen's been doing a bit of research there on Zoom. So just gonna unmute Gretchen because she's got a few updates for us. If I can just get it unmuted, or you could unmute it maybe at your end. It doesn't seem to be, there we go.
No, I just wanted to add about the free 40 minutes, the 40 minute restriction that's been removed, to do a double check on that, because I think that they've only removed it from K through 12 schools, that kind of thing. And if you do work for a school, I do know there are a couple of teachers here, and you're using it for students for sound baths and such, you can write in and request that that 40 minute restriction's removed. So I just didn't want anyone to get on their site and be disappointed if they still needed to pay $14.99.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we don't really know. It might be that it's in different countries, there are different rules.
Sure.
The UK might be different from the US. You know, there might be different restrictions in different places. But, you know, there's obviously something there. I don't know if Connie wants to make another comment on it. Are you working in schools there, Connie? I don't know. Maybe you could say something. But Connie's in the UK, and you're obviously in the US. It might be different. But anyway,
sure.
The point is that it might not be fully available for everyone everywhere. I think that's the point you're making, isn't it? Great. Thanks for that. Okay, so let's go back over to Mark then. On you go. So what Mark's been doing is basically running through the different platforms. So we've covered, and with Gráinne there as well, covering the different platforms. So we're now moving on from that in the talk and presentation.
Okay, so the next bit I thought was, it's not really related to technology, but it's very, very relevant. It's related to expectations. So it's important to talk a little bit about this, because some people might think you can buy some magical device and have the most amazing quality recording ever. And it's not quite as straightforward as that. So it's important to talk about that. So the first example of that is, that everyone will have seen, is you've been to a concert, or your friends uploaded a video onto Facebook from the concert they went to last night, and you think, oh, that's really bad audio quality, it's all distorted and mushy and you can't hear everything. And then 6 months later the band releases a DVD or Blu-ray and it sounds amazing. And so it's important to know that there's going to be a big difference between what your friends or you captured on your smartphone and what the bands or the band's sound engineers did at the show and how much was spent on it. You know, it's going to be a really big budget performance. So you're not going to get kind of amazing quality on a really, really low budget. It's important to be aware of that. But you could still get pretty good, you know. You're just not going to get absolutely amazing. And also, it's also really important to be realistic with what you're going to capture sound wise and how it's going to come across to the people that are listening to it. And we've got to remember, in this day and age, a lot of people listen on their iPhones and their tablets. Quite often they listen with earbuds, and there'll be the free ones that come with the iPhone or the tablet, which at the end of the day probably costs a few dollars. So it's not going to be amazing quality, and it's not going to, you know, hearing a gong online isn't going to be quite the same as standing 6 feet away from it in the room. And it's important to remember those sort of things with your expectations. And also remember that all instruments are going to be very different in terms of their sonic and acoustic properties. And there's no magic microphone or no magic kind of device that's going to record every instrument in an amazing way. There are some microphones that can be good for, really good for sort of four or five different instruments, but you're not going to get one magic mic that's going to be amazing for everything. So you have to bear that in mind. And, you know, when you hear a really good album and you think, wow, that's been so well produced, remember, you know, it may have had 15 or 20 different microphones just to record one band, probably maybe 10 or 12 just for the drummer, you know. So it's important to be realistic with what quality you're going to get in the end. And the next point, kind of carrying on from that, is it's really, really important before you start doing this to do lots and lots of practicing. And most people have got quite a bit of time on their hands compared to normal at the moment, so it's a really good time to do it. So when you you know, set yourself up for doing a live sound bath and broadcast it to Facebook or YouTube so that only you can see it, and then watch it back afterwards and see what you think of the quality, make some notes. You might be thinking, oh, that sounds good, that sounds good, but, oh, I can't hear the Tibetan bowl, it's not loud enough, or my voice is not loud enough, all that sort of thing. So make lots of notes when you're watching it, and then have a think about what you can do to make it better next time. And remember, it's not going to be perfect, but you can get really, really good. You know, even the top performers in the world, they might be doing a live performance on Radio 2, and there might be some technical issues. It probably won't sound quite as good as the CD. So just aim for really good. And do lots and lots of experimentation. There's no hard and fast rules to what works and what doesn't, and to what mics sound good and what mics don't sound good. And just do lots and lots of experimenting. If, say, you've already got a certain mic and it sounds a bit rubbish, then just try moving it around in the room, you know, moving it nearer the source, moving it further away. And you might find at a certain point, wow, I just moved it 6 inches away and it sounds 10 times better, you know. So just do lots of experimenting, make lots of notes. You know, quite often when people are doing these things, they might move a mic and find, oh, it sounds really good there. So maybe just get a little post-it note and put it on the carpet so you can remember where you put it for next time, and write a little note on it. This is where the such and such mic goes. So when you're doing your testing on YouTube or Facebook, it's good to get some really good feedback from people you know. And I think you'll find that your really, really good friends are the ones that are maybe a little bit more honest with you. I mean, I've got lots of friends, and yeah, some of my really good friends are quite honest, and I really love and respect that. I've got some great friends that have been involved with my music and my recordings over the years, and I really love the ones that say, hey Mark, you know, this isn't good enough, you need to do that again, or you need to play that again, record it again, it's not tight enough, it could be better, you can do better. I think people that say that they're my true friends, because, you know, people like that actually get you to a really, really good level of competence, and you will thank them, even if it's not exactly what you want to hear at the time. So yeah, ask people who are kind of musicians, sound engineers, that sort of thing, what do you think of this, and ask some honest feedback, and they'll probably give you a few tips that will really, really help. And following on from that, there's always much to learn every day. I've been recording, you know, sort of world fusion Spanish guitar music for nearly 20 years now, and yeah, there's still things I'm learning every day about recording and mixing. There's always so much to learn. So talk to people who have experience. So I'll just use a kind of fun analogy here, which is, you know, my friend Andy, who's a really, really nice chap. He's great at he's a great guitar technician, he's great at making guitars, he's really amazing at that, but he's a bit of a junk food freak, and so he wouldn't be my number one choice for asking about where to go to eat, you know. But my friend Kumar from Sri Lanka, who's been doing traditional Sri Lankan foods the authentic way for 40 years, yes, if he says something's really, really good, then I'm going to believe him. He's the person to go to. So yeah, choose who you ask and choose the right people. So a little bit about choice. There's going to be lots of different recommendations here, and it's impossible to say this is what you must get because it's going to be perfect for what you need, because everyone's going to be in a different situation, different scenario, wanting to do different things, have different budgets, different rooms, and different equipment already at their disposal. So it's very subjective, and the most expensive isn't necessarily always going to be the best. And a great example of that is microphones. A lot of people in studios do like Neumann U87, which I think is currently somewhere about, I don't know, $1,600 or a little bit more than that probably. But don't forget that the industry standard SM58, which is around $100. Don't forget that every single U2 album, Bono has used an SM58, a $100 mic, and they've done okay. You know, they've sold one or two copies. You know, nobody said, right, I'm not going to buy that U2 album because he isn't using a Neumann U87, you know, so it doesn't have to be really expensive. And of course, remember, every instrument is going to be different. drums, gongs, Tibetan bowls, your own voice. They're all different instruments, and there's going to be no kind of right answer for some things. As before with Bono, his voice seems to work on a SM57. Everyone has a different voice, so if you've got a soft voice, you might need a more sensitive microphone to pick it up well. If you've got quite a loud voice, then a cheaper microphone might work really well with it. So everyone's different, and there's no right solution for everybody. And also, in the current climate, it's important to be flexible, and some things that are really popular might be selling out, and you might need to consider, oh, if this is going to be a 3-month wait for this, do I really want it? And you might have to look somewhere else, get an alternative piece of gear, or even consider buying the same piece of equipment at a more expensive price. So I remember back in middle of 2016, I was changing my camera, and I wanted a Nikon D750, and I found it for a really good price online, ordered it, and a few days later, you know, it hadn't arrived and I had no delivery date. So I started contacting these people, and yes, it's coming soon. And after a while, I started getting a little bit frustrated, and I got a bit assertive with them after about 2 weeks. And this was like May, and I said to, look, can you give me any guarantee that this camera is actually going to be delivered to me this year? And they said, well, no, we can't. So I said, right, that's it. I want to cancel that order immediately. And I bought it somewhere else. And it was an extra few hundred dollars, but it arrived in 2 days, and the service was brilliant. So it was worth it. So choose what companies you shop with as well. Make sure it's, if possible, a company you've used before that you know is reliable, and you know they're still operating online at the moment. And yeah, be flexible. And also, you can look at secondhand equipment. There's going to be lots of people selling things as well at the moment. So that's also worth looking on eBay, see what you can get. And read the reviews, of course, as well.
It's true at the moment, Mark, that sometimes the prices might be going up as well.
Yes, that's right. I mean, yeah. I got this webcam recently. Retail price was £70. By the time I got it, it was 85. A week later, it was 120, and it's probably 200 by now. So some things do go up if they're in short supply. You know. So read the reviews as well. Nothing's going to get 5 stars from everybody on the planet, because some people are hypercritical. But, you know, just be aware of, you know, read the good ones, read a few bad ones, and see if they've got some good constructive or bad constructive points to make. And make your decision based on that. Sometimes there's a few bad reviews that says, oh, it didn't arrive or something. That doesn't really mean it's a bad product. It's just a delivery fault. But so, yeah, read reviews and see what people say. Go on forums, sound forums, all sorts of things like that. People will have their recommendations.
Okay. I just want to do a quick check-in with everyone here live. Because as you can see, we've done 8 slides at the moment. Mark's got about 30 to get through. And just so that you know, this could go on for a bit. I mean, we're already been going just about half an hour or more. So, you know, this is the time for you to maybe just settle in if you haven't already done that. And because there's a lot more great content coming up. We're going to get into the technology now. And we've done kind of platforms and background things. So we're starting to get into some of the technology. Remember, if you've got any questions as we're going along, then please do ask them. We can always stop and answer questions as we go along. You don't have to wait until the end. You know, let's make this interactive as we go along as well. And, you know, there are 4 of us here. Hopefully one of us has got something to say to your questions. So that's useful. So just please, you know, jump in if that's what you want to do. Okay, over to you again, Mark.
Okay, so there's lots of different devices that people have at their disposal or want to use. Most people have a smartphone these days or tablets, iPhones, Samsung Galaxies. And if they're quite recent ones, then they can be pretty good at video capability for live broadcasts. You know, probably an iPhone 3 or 4 isn't going to be so good, but some of the modern ones are really, really good. You know, the latest Galaxies and iPhones have great quality video, so that might be really good to use. Oh, question popped up. Might be really good to use on live broadcasts. And some of the really, really modern phones do have pretty good mics, internal mics, but they're not always fantastic. Sometimes they're a bit lacking and can't pick up all sounds really well. So it's worth considering getting an external microphone, because this can make a big difference to your sound quality. And if you're doing sound healing online, obviously sound is more important than video, really. So it's worth considering external mics. There's lots and lots of different ones to choose from. Obviously, you've got to make sure it's compatible with your phone. Generally, most things are either Apple or Android. That's the two different systems that we have to choose from. So there's a few recommendations here that you can look for online. I know one of our teachers in America, Natalie's, used the Comica smartphone kit, which is like a shotgun mic that fits on top of your Android phone. And that can certainly improve the sound quality that you get for broadcasts. There's a similar thing for Apple, which is a Rode video mic. And these things kind of attach to your phone and improve your quality.
Yeah, course, I mean, that particular kit that Natalie was using, the smartphone, it's actually does iPhones as well.
Oh, right, it's an iPhone as well. That's good.
And it's actually got a standalone, little tripod thing as well. So you can set it away, and you can attach your phone into this whole kind of tripod setup and a clamp and all of that. And it's a very neat piece of equipment. I got hold of one a couple of weeks ago and been trying it out. It's really good. So it does both iPhones and Androids.
Oh, so is Gretchen, by the look of it.
you got one there, have you, Gretchen? Yay.
I just got it. I haven't had a chance to test it out yet. But once I get a chance to, I'm going to be doing a test with it tomorrow. I just got it like a day ago. I'll update and add some comments on Facebook.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I've been trying it out. It's really good. Okay.
Cool. So, and of course, you'll probably need a tripod or a mini pod to actually put your phone on. There's a picture there on the right of the sort of gadget you can get. And your phone just clips into that. And you can just put it on a desk or put it on top of a tripod or mini pod, and it keeps it steady for the broadcast, which is great.
Yeah. Okay. So we had a question there, which I think you're going to come on to in a little while. But the question there from Everett Allen was, how many microphones would you recommend? Okay, so we're going to have a whole thing on microphones coming up, aren't we, Mark?
Yeah, we're coming up. Yeah, I'll come up to that soon. So it's a good question. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so you may not have a smartphone or a tablet, or you maybe have an old one, and you're more into desktops and laptops, and that's your sort of more modern piece of equipment. So most laptops these days, I think in the last probably 10 years or so, most of them are going to have a webcam built in, but they're not always that good in terms of image quality, especially compared to a modern smartphone. And yeah, I've got a laptop upstairs. It's about 5 years old. I think it's a Lenovo, and the webcam is passable, but it's not that great. And this one that I'm using here today, Logitech, which is shown on the right here, and that's definite improvement on it. And as I said, they were about $100, but the prices are going up because they're quite in demand at the moment. So ideally go for something that's HD, which 1920x1080 resolution, and that's the one. It's Logitech C920. That's a pretty good one to go for. There's lots of different ones to choose from. You can go for more expensive ones. There's Logitech Brio, which is a bit more, but that's a 4K one. So if you think you might be doing 4K in the future, that's worth thinking about. And external mics, again, with laptops, they're unlikely to have great mics because they're not really, that's not really quite as important as maybe in the smartphone. So so bear in mind that you might want to get an external mic like the ones I mentioned before, and there's a lot more about mics coming up later. So now I'm going to talk about what you can do to improve your existing setup without spending any money at all. And there's so many things you can do without spending a penny, and a few things that might cost, $4 or $5, that sort of thing. So this is about how to improve what you have at the moment without spending anything. Okay, so obvious one really, but not everything is obvious until you think of it. So if you're doing a broadcast, having a Zoom meeting, doing a sound bath, then you might want to carefully choose what room you do it in the house, and make sure you're far away from roads, you're not next to the bathroom, you're not next to the washing machine. And an issue I sometimes have when I'm recording is that my studio room is downstairs, and we have like an upside down house. The lounge is upstairs, so if somebody's walking and is, you know, quite loud when they walk, then you can hear that vibration through the floorboard. So it's, yeah, carefully choose what room you use and go for the one that's going to be as quiet as possible. And to minimize interruptions during your broadcast, you don't, I listen to all sorts of things on the internet, and there's one particular online radio show I listen to, and there's a continuous stream of pings and beeps going on during the broadcast from all the Facebook notifications, of which there are quite a few. So it's good to turn these off, turn off the sound on your device so you don't keep getting pings and beeps and things like that. And some friends of mine did a live concert last Saturday, which was a friend of mine in California, which was really good. But it was on Facebook Live, and somebody rung them in the middle of it, and that kind of really interrupted the whole thing. They had to kind of cancel the call and then start again. So that's, yeah, and obviously somebody who knew them that didn't know they were doing a live broadcast. So it's worth little things like that. You have to be quite prepared and make a checklist of everything you do before you start. And another one that I encountered this many, many years ago, when I was living in a flat that was next to a road, and it was just one room. And yeah, the computer, I think generally Macs may be a little bit better on this front, but some PCs have really, really noisy fans. And if you've got a sensitive microphone, that can really, really pick up the noise, because some large diaphragm mics are really, really sensitive. I mean, so much so that I remember when I was living up in Hemioc in Devon many years ago, and I was doing some recording, and I just had my headphones on and this mic on, and it was turned up, you know, quite loud on the mixer. And I remember it was a detached house, and I could still hear the neighbours having an argument. So that's how sensitive they are, some of these microphones. So if you've got a noisy fan, then can you put the computer somewhere else? Can you put some foam sort of between you and the computer, or put it in a cupboard somewhere, that sort of thing? Or even what I do here for my home studio, it's in a cupboard which is out in the hallway. And
yeah, I think Gronje wants to jump in and say something, so we're just gonna unmute. Can you unmute Gronje?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just like to say, obviously you want to set up your setup to be optimized so that there isn't any noise, minimize interruptions. But I think it's good to prep people who are listening to you for the fact that they're not at a studio where all that preparation is done. There could be noise in their environment that interrupts the session. Mm. There could be noise, like you said, outside in your environment that interrupts the session. Mm. And just to brief people on that at the beginning of a session, to be aware, to just accept that there may be different noises, and just to hear them and just let them go, and then to move on. Because I think people could get caught up in their own environment, especially if they're hearing noises and feel that, well, I've heard that noise and then I'm disrupted. But just to accept that it will be a slightly different process.
That's very good. Thanks for saying that, Gronje. So that's an issue I've had and addressed in the past by putting the computer in a cupboard outside of the recording room with a big hole in the wall and the cables going through the hole. And another issue that we don't have in England, but I collaborate with lots of people in the States, and especially California. And one of the most common things that they have to deal with, especially on the mixing and audio engineering side when they're recording things, is listening to the take afterwards, and there's a bit of a humming noise going on in the background. Oh, it's the air conditioning, so we're going to have to try and remove that. So if you're somewhere hot, then maybe see if you can turn off the aircon for an hour or whatever if it's quite noisy. And all sorts of things like, are you too quiet when you're talking to people on Zoom? obvious things. If you're too quiet, you can turn up the volume on your microphone, or you can move closer to the microphone, things like that. And as I've mentioned before, you can turn on the use original audio setting on Zoom, and Tony's going to post up the link, but here it is now on this guide. Don't look at it now, look at it later, but yeah, that tells you how to turn on the original audio. And there might also be echo and feedback issues. So if you're using speakers on your laptop or your computer, and then that can cause sort of feedback issues if it picks up what somebody's saying, and then they hear what's going on your speakers, and they hear themselves speaking on your speakers, then it goes back to them by your mic. You know, that can be an issue. So it's worth considering if that's not working, then use some earbuds or earphones. What did I hear? Clang.
External noise interrupting things, huh?
Okay, so that's the first part of the zero budget optimization session. And another one which can be an issue for a lot of people. It certainly used to be an issue for me, but we're fortunate to have got fiber now, so it's pretty good. But internet speed can be an issue for a lot of people. So it's best to sort of see what your download and upload speeds are before you start. There's loads of websites out there. It's, you know, speedtest.net, that's a good one. And it will tell you what your speed is in megabits per second. And it's if you've got, you know, 5 for an upload speed, then that's going to be absolutely fine for doing broadcasts. If it's a bit lower, then you are going to have a reduction in quality, certainly in the video and in the audio too. So 5 would be a good...
Yeah, I mean, the other thing just to say about that is that you not only lower quality, but you can also get lack of synchronization between the audio and the video. So that, you know, that gets out of sync, and that's not that doesn't look too good as well.
Yeah, so it's worth trying to get it up to that kind of speed if you can. If it's really slow, then, you know, you may want to consider other options. We used to have, you know, 0.5 meg here. And if you wanted to watch, download a program from BBC iPlayer to watch later on your laptop or whatever, then you couldn't even stream it live. If it was a 30-minute program, it would take about 2 hours to download. So that's how slow it is. And it's worth looking at your broadband package. Can you upgrade this to a faster speed or more data if you're going to be doing lots of streamings? I upgraded mine about a month ago, and it was less than $4 a month for unlimited usage, which is pretty good value, I think. Mm-hmm. That's $4 extra, obviously, on top of what I was paying previously.
Okay, we just had a nice comment there from Jamie. Thanks for that, Jamie, saying he's got a link to a website that lists several webcams for 2020 with the pros and cons of each. So that's a really helpful link. Thanks for that. It's really good to see people contributing in the chat here as well. So that's brilliant. It's a great place to share. Thanks for that.
Cool. Then a little bit more about internet speed and how you can improve it. So you can turn off all your Wi-Fi devices that aren't being used. If you're just using your laptop, then turn off your phone. That's quite an obvious one, and anything else that uses Wi-Fi. If you've got it on your TV, then, you know, obviously, if you're trying to do a live, if people are doing live streamings of Amazon and Netflix and that kind of thing, that can sort of sap up all your internet usage. So it's worth politely suggesting that they maybe read a book for an hour or something while you're doing your broadcast, especially if it's a one-to-one. And if you have a slow internet connection, it's worth considering whereabouts your computer is. I don't actually use Wi-Fi. I like hardwired Ethernet cable, but if you do use Wi-Fi, it can get slowed down by all the walls it goes through between the router and the room you're in, and so it might be like half the speed of what it started out. So it's worth, can you move to a different room that's near the router, that sort of thing. You know, everything will interrupt it. And another option, it might be possible to even plug directly into your router. And that's worth considering. Also, something we use here is something called Home Hub, which allows you to plug directly from your router into your electrical supply of your house, and then you can put another home plug in another room, and then you get a internet RJ45 Ethernet cable and plug that into your device, and that gives you maximum speed without Wi-Fi. So that's worth considering.
Yeah, you'd need an adapter for that to get it in from the Ethernet into your phone or whatever. And
as I mentioned here, you can also get a device that will allow you to plug your smartphone or your tablets directly into your router, which might give you a faster connection. Worth considering.
There was a question here, just going back to one of your earlier points about this is from Wanda. Will you need a separate mic if you use, say, the Logitech C920?
Logitech C920, it does have a microphone built in, and it's fine for talking, but it's not that great for sounds. So if you have, most webcams are going to have a built-in mic. It's most of that, I mean, we can look at that. You can look at that list that was posted later, but most of them are going to have a pretty cheap microphone because it's mainly going to be for talking, and a built-in cheap mic is going to be okay for talking. Not so good for sounds though. Probably won't pick them up very well. And just another consideration is do you have a better smartphone data package than your home Wi-Fi? And if that's the case, then that could be another option. If you've got a half a meg connection at home, but your smartphone's a lot faster, then you might want to consider using that instead of your home internet. But obviously check your data allowance and make sure you're not going to run out halfway through. And just a little bit about what we said before, kind of repeating a few things here, but it's important for you to, my order's gone a bit funny here. Okay, it's important for you to repeat these things to your clients so that they also get a good experience at their end. It's all very well you having a great internet connection, nice fast speeds, nice smooth sound and connection. Then at their end, they've got a really poor connection and it's cracking up because they can't see it because they've got a bad connection. So make sure you reiterate all these points that I've just said, checking the download speeds, turning off Wi-Fi devices, using earbuds, making sure there's a good mic level, using original audio, all these things. Make sure you convey these to your clients as well, because that can make a real difference to them. And on that point, if you're broadcasting, then upload speed is what's important. And if you're viewing, then download speed is what's important. So that's the things to look at. So just to give them all the information.
A lovely little snowflake.
Hello, snowflake.
It's what this white thing. She's off again.
So make all those suggestions to your clients so that they get a really good experience too, which is also important. Okay, we're now going to move on to when you do want to spend a little bit of money on. Have we got another question?
Okay, we've got a question. Yeah. Does the client need to have original audio on as well to receive your higher quality audio?
Only if they're going to be broadcasting. Yeah. If you're going to be transmitting to them and playing to them, they don't need to have that on at all. But if it's somebody that, you've got a student or something like that and you're teaching them to play the Tibetan bowl, then they do want it turned on in that instance if they're playing.
I mean, the other thing I'd say is that, if you want your sound healing session, either one-to-one or in a group, to be interactive, and so you've got the client at the other end and you want to invite them to do vocal toning with you, for example, or you might be doing that sort of thing in a group, then definitely, or they've got a Tibetan bowl and you want to encourage them to place it on a particular part of their body and to play it because you can't actually physically get there, then in those kind of situations, you probably do want to have enabled, given them what it takes for them to enable original sound and to have that turned on as well. So there are situations where I think it might be useful to have it, but as a rule, if it's just mostly you broadcasting, as Mark said, to people, then they don't need to have it on. So, and turning on original sound isn't always the best thing when you're talking. I mean, we were experimenting earlier
for this. Yeah, that's right. My wife was doing some hoovering and that really came through with original sound turned on, but without it, it was fine.
Yeah. So
and that wasn't even in the same room.
And at the moment, you know, we've got the option to turn it on or turn it off. So you can even toggle between the two in a session quite easily with Zoom and so on. So yeah, great. Okay, anyway, over to you again.
Okay,
Mark. So what we've done is we're kind of going through here the no cost, the low cost, the medium cost, and then the high cost kind of packages, all right? So what Mark's already done is just in those last few slides in the talk is to have covered, you know, what you can do to optimize the audio quality for both you and the people who you're trying to reach with the sound healing without spending any money, okay? So now we're going into the low budget, the low cost. Oh, maybe just a little bit of money, Gretchen was kind of indicating. Yeah. If you're kind of going to upgrade your data plan, for example, then you will have to spend a bit more. So
yeah, yes, that was the zero/almost zero option.
Yeah, very very low cost. So this is a little bit higher than that in terms of the costing. Yeah.
Okay, so so if you're using a smartphone or tablet, you're probably going to be already covered for the ability to broadcast videos. We talked a little bit about webcams earlier, but you probably can be okay for that on the modern smartphones and tablets. But you could make a big improvement in the audio department by investing in a microphone. And there's lots of different options. There's lots of different USB mics which work with smartphones and tablets. So just a few options that various people I know have said, hey, these are quite good. I've not actually used the Blue Yeti myself, but I've heard it's a pretty good microphone for plugging directly into you. You can, if it's a USB mic, you can generally plug it into your laptop or your computer or your tablets, and it plugs directly into there. We'll get onto things that don't plug in directly in a minute, but this is USB mic. So Blue Yeti is one option. For a little bit more, there's the Audio
Technica.
Can I
just stop you there, Mark? Can you plug a USB mic into a smartphone? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, if you've got the right connector.
Oh, you've got to have the connector. Right.
Yeah, if the smartphone's got like a USB-C or whatever.
Yeah. You've got to have the adapter, the connector to do it.
So, and for a little bit more, you can get the Audio Technica, which is probably going to be a little bit higher quality. And another option we're thinking about, which you might already have, of course, is there's lots of Zoom, not Zoom that we're using now, but it's a product called Zoom, which is an audio recorder. It's like a field recorder, actually. But nowadays, the H5 and the H6 especially, they can also double up as an audio interface. So they give you a bit more flexibility. They've already got two built-in microphones.
What's an audio interface, Mark?
An audio interface is, which I'm going to get onto later, for most microphones come with, have I got one here? Hang on a sec. Yeah. So I don't know if you can see this. Most microphones come with an XLR. Mm-hmm. Connection, can you see that?
Yeah,
which is like a round thing with three pins, and of course you can't plug that into a laptop or a computer because there's nowhere to put it, because computers don't come with round holes. So an audio interface is a gateway between your microphone and your computer. It's a way of getting the sounds into your computer. So with the Zoom H5, it's got two built-in microphones, which is great. You can also plug in another two external microphones, so you've almost got like a mini four-channel mixing desk in that device, and that's USB, so you can plug that into your laptop or your computer or your smartphone and use that as an audio interface. So that's another option worth considering if you want a little bit more flexibility.
Okay. And it's also okay, I'm just going to interrupt there. It's really good what you're doing, Mark, but mm-hmm. I'm just trying to keep this interactive as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. So there was a question there, or somebody was sharing, I think it's Kata, saying she's talking about doing group sound bars and trying to do all that. The idea is to get people to chant mantra together and hear each other's voice. Do you think it's worth trying that out, like what we were talking about with turning on original sound, I think? And she's saying that I could turn their volume off, mute them after they've done that, while she then goes on to play the instruments. Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about in Kata, in terms of, you know, using the original sound in that way. They would obviously have to have that set up and enabled at their end as well. I have heard people who are choir leaders saying that, yeah, Zoom is good, you know, with this original sound, you know, in this context. But again, it does depend on everyone's, you know, in the group, on their internet speed, all these kind of things that we've just talked about. Because if their internet speed isn't very fast, for example, then things can get out of sync, because there can be a delay factor with Zoom when you're working in a group like that. And so as a result, it can be a bit challenging to get everybody singing, you know, or chanting exactly the same thing at the same time. But if you just allow it to be a little bit kind of a little bit
organic
is a good word, you know, and you don't mind that too much, then, you know, it's not too much of a problem. You know, I know that with choirs, you know, there's quite a precise, often a precise way of working, you know, everyone's coming in on time at the same time, you know, and on all the notes and things like that. I think with chanting mantras, it's often a bit more organic and it's not quite so important, that kind of thing. And other people saying, Kami, you know, try to do a live kirtan with musicians from different locations on Zoom. It's been a challenge, big latency issues, exactly right. But you can have lots of fun. Yeah, so, you know, I have tried it, and I think that the Zoom, you know, with original sound for basic, simple mantra chanting together is absolutely fine. It's when you start to get more complex with your compositions and whatever you're trying to do, that challenges, you know, start to come in, bigger challenges. So keep it simple would be my recommendation there, and make it work like that. Okay, over to you again, Mark.
Yeah, we've had some more questions, and Gretchen has answered them already, so that's great. Yes, which is the Zoom H4, right, which also works. So that's good. Excellent. So let's turn that off. So we had the Zoom, and also another point worth mentioning here. What's the next one? So that's the kind of low budget setup. And
so when you're talking about low budget, how much are we talking about up to? Is this generally?
Well, this is kind of up to around about $200, that sort of thing. Okay. So there's, yeah, options 150 up to 200.
Right.
And another consideration on low budget setup is, which is appearing in the chat already, which is great, is you might already have some existing equipment, like a few people have got the Zoom H4, which they can use already, and which is perfectly good. Just might need a little extra cable or something like that. So you might already have some great equipment that you didn't know you can use. You can use, and you can get a great setup for, you know, maybe $10 or $15 just to getting the right cable. So you might have an old mixing desk in the loft, an old microphone, and no way of connecting to your smartphone, that sort of thing. So there are lots of different options for that as well. Like if you've got a mixing desk that doesn't have connectivity to your smartphone, you can get something called an iRig Stream, which is like a streaming device that allows you to plug analog equipment that's a bit older directly into your phone. So there's a link to it there. That's also worth checking out. And it's also worth pointing out, when you're buying equipment, to think about future-proofing as well. Like, say you're looking at, oh, which one should I get? Should I get the Audio-Technica USB mic, or should I get the Zoom H5? You might be torn between the two, and it's important to think about how you might use those in the future. And for example, the Zoom you can take out with you and use it as like a field mic. So if you're going to be perhaps getting into recording, you know, sort of rain, streams and waves and sounds of nature and that sort of thing, that might be something worth considering, because you've got that extra use for it in the future, which you could record and use in your sound.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, another point on that is that, which I think, you know, is covered in a, you know, we're covering in a briefing sheet. I'm not sure how fully covered it is at the moment, but I know Gretchen's been working on these briefing sheets about, you know, doing sound healing one-on-one and in groups at this point in time. And there is this question about actually recording your sounds and then sending them to people. as an option. So you might want to, record if you're doing a live broadcast, for example, through Zoom, and you could actually be recording the session through something like the Zoom H5 onto the disk at the same time as it being broadcast. And, or, you know, you can also record it afterwards. And so, but you couldn't do that with a Blue Yeti, for example, so that it's, because that's just going to stream into your computer unless you've
got another, really good point. Another way of Zoom, recording it. You can put an SD card into a Zoom and record everything that's onto the SD card in really good quality. So that's worth mentioning as well.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, keep going. I'm aware that we're starting to lose a few people here. we had 90 odd at one point. We're down to 78. So I think we need to try and speed it up a little bit. Yeah. But it's great. You know, keep the questions coming in
about medium budget setups. So if you've got a mobile or smart, which means smartphone or tablet, then there's lots of options for this. As the one I mentioned just now, which is the Eurig Stream, which allows things like mixing desks to be connected to your device. So you could, for example, you could get an Eurig Stream and a Behringer mixing desk. Then that would give you lots of options for sort of mixing lots of live sounds together. Or you could get the Zoom, as I mentioned before, the H5 or the more expensive H6 or the cheaper H4 even. And of course, if you're using mics, then you want to be getting a mic stand as well, which is very important. So that's all, and a few mics as well, a little suggested. So for around about $500, you could get either a Zoom, which can act as an audio interface, or you could get a little mixing desk and an Eurig Stream to connect that to your device. And then that allows a little bit more budget for microphones. So there's a few microphone suggestions there, which take up the budget to around $500. It's probably worth thinking about getting two microphones if you're going to be doing sound baths. That will give you a lot more variety. I'll get on to different types of mics in a minute, but that's there's hundreds to choose from. That's a few recommendations.
Yeah, we are. Mark is going to cover that. We've got a comment there from Chris, or a question saying, can you speak about the versatility of mics? In that a mic may work well in the home, but not so well in a church, for example.
Yeah, we're getting onto that soon. Yeah.
Yeah, we're coming onto that soon. Just bear with us there, Chris.
Yeah. So for desktops and laptops, the options are, it's a little bit different to having a smartphone or tablets, but there's still plenty of options. You can either go for a more budget mixing desk, like we described on the previous screen, and a sound card, which is an audio interface, which, as I described before, is like a gateway between your analog devices and your computer. Or you can get some more expensive mixing desks, but still quite budget. There we are, $133, which have a USB output, so you can output the mixing desk directly into your computer. So that eliminates the need to have an audio interface. So the Behringer is quite a good one. They do really good value equipment, and it's pretty good quality as well. And so for $133, you can get a 12-channel mixing desk, which is going to give you a massive amount of flexibility. So you can go with that, and you know the mic suggestions as per the previous page. So you can get a really, really good setup for your laptop or your desktop for just over $400. So that's a few suggestions there. If you want to go really expensive, we're not talking Abbey Road, but just a little bit more expensive.
So the medium budget was up to about 500. Okay, so we had low budget 200, medium budget about 500. And what are we talking about here?
We're talking around about 1,000.
Around about 1,000, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so again, you can go for the mixing desk in this budget, or you can go for a more sophisticated audio interface, like the Focusrite Scarlett, which has 8 inputs. So that's worth considering. And that's going to give you a little bit higher quality overall, which probably is not going to make a massive difference for live. But if you want to get into studio type recording in the future, it's worth considering that as an option. You can get some really nice mics for that sort of money as well. I've listed a few there, which is taking up a level on the quality. And so yeah, that's around about your sort of $800 to $1,000 budget. So a little bit about microphones now. So
okay, just before we get into that, there was another comment here about from it looks like you've already replied, Gráinne.
Oh, she's on the case.
You're well ahead. Okay, do we need to say anything? Do you want to say, just reply to that, just to kind of say what's the question and what's the answer? Gráinne?
Hi, Peter. You're asking about a client coming for the vibrations, so that they can feel it throughout a session. And obviously, an online session is going to be slightly different. And we spoke about this last night, a few of us, and we're saying, I think it's a great opportunity to delve into the voice module and for you to learn some of the techniques within the voice module and possibly even teach them to your client so they could possibly do some vocal work whilst doing the session with you. You could teach them some techniques that they could use it, that they would feel it in their body. And there's many different techniques, humming, mantras, there's lots of, and I think it's a really great way to explore a different part of the course that you may not have been drawn to in the first place, and it's quite a useful skill to learn as well.
Yeah, that's a great thing. Yeah, and also remember that what we what we teach is that it's not just about the vibrations, it's about the quality of the tones that go together, the quality of the notes that go together that create a healing effect. And so, you know, the combination of notes that we might use in instruments is really important as well. So people can still have an amazing healing response when you do this kind of live online sound work, even though they might not be experiencing the vibrations of a bowl or whatever directly on their body. You know, it can still be very effective and powerful. I think that's the key point here as well. Great. Okay, thanks for that.
Okay, excellent. So a little bit about USB microphones. They're a relatively recent invention because obviously, you know, computers haven't been around for as long as microphones. So they're a good choice for smartphones and tablets. You just plug it straight in and you've got a microphone and can be a good budget choice for desktops and laptops as well. There's a few options I've listed there that will be available on various sites. The downside of USB mics is generally if you're going to be broadcasting, then you have to choose what device you want to use for broadcasting. So you're limited to one device. And if you've got a USB mic, that will be your chosen device. So you're kind of limited to just one microphone. That's the downside. So a little bit about external microphones. As people have been making them for nearly 150 years. It's what you see in all recording studios all around the world, and they can be amazingly good quality. You do need an audio interface, as I've discussed, or a mixing desk, you know, as that gateway between your microphone and your PC or your tablet. And this can provide really good quality on the budget as well. I mean, the Focusrite Scarlett is an amazing little audio interface. It's really affordable, as you can see, and the quality's fantastic. You know, you're going to get the sort of quality that several, you know, sort of 20 years ago would have cost probably 10 times more than that. Things are really good these days. So a mixing desk might be a better option for a real-time type environment. Say you're doing a sound bath and you want to get a little bit more sophisticated and you want to have control over different mics, it's good to have a mixing desk so you can just like fade in that sliders for different instruments, that sort of thing. So that's the main considerations for that. And it's often
Can you do that while you're playing? So like solo, have a mixing desk. So, you know, you're playing, you're playing all your bowls and everything else, and then you've got a mixing desk. Can you do that?
Absolutely. Yeah, if you've got something right next to you, you can sort of play your bowls, and then you're going to start playing the drums or gong. So you just switch or fade in a different microphone, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's worth considering. And of course, mixing desk can be a more cost-effective option than the audio interface. You generally get more bang per buck with mixing desk, and sometimes you get built-in effects as well, which is good. So that's another Behringer example there on quite a low budget. And you may want to delve deeper into, you know, using a PA or something in the future for bigger sound baths. So they can be a good investment. Or even using sort of pre-recorded audio during a sound bath. So condenser mics. This is the big type of mic that you see in studios that are generally used for people to sing into, apart from Bono. And so they're pretty good quality mics. They have a very large frequency range. So they're good at sort of reproducing a sort of wide range of sounds. And they tend to be a bit louder in their output as well. But that also means they're kind of worth bearing in mind. They're more sensitive as well. So, you know, a mic like large diaphragm mic like this might sound really good on somebody's voice. It might sound pretty good on a Tibetan singing bowl, but it's probably not going to be a good choice for a frame drum because that's just too loud and noisy and in your face, you know. Mm. So it's good for more subtle instruments and instruments that aren't mega loud, instruments that have a large dynamic range, large range of frequencies coming going on. They do need phantom power, which means you have to plug them into a audio interface or a mixing desk to get that phantom power, which basically means the thing that you plug them into gives them an extra boost, which is why they're a bit louder. All mixing desks will generally have phantom power in them, and definitely all audio interfaces as well. So yeah, they're generally more suited to studios because of their sensitivity to live sounds, and they're a bit more fragile than dynamic mics. But of course, if you're broadcasting from a room, that's kind of like a studio, so it's worth considering if you want really good quality. But you do sometimes find them on stages, perhaps. It varies, you know, if it's going to be choral or a little bit more intimate, then you might find them, but you're probably not.
Okay, so what about that question? What about that question we had, Mark, where from Chris, who was saying about, you know, he's basically going to be broadcasting from home, live, live sounds, rather than operating, or, you know, it's different, going to be different from a, you know, big sort of a venue like a church or a community center or whatever. Mm-hmm. So what sort of mics are going to be best in that kind of setup?
Well, I'll just go through the rest of the mics and I'll
yeah, yeah. That. So yeah. Let's remember that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's two types of condenser mic.
Can I jump in quick?
Yeah.
I want to jump back to a question from Mary Beth, back to mixing boards and mixing desks and audio interfaces. Mm-hmm. She wants to know what the difference between an interface such as Euphoria is and the mixer/mixing desk.
Okay. Well, I'm not familiar with Euphoria, but basically an audio interface is more tailored to recording. So you have a panel in the front. You can plug in several microphones, maybe two, maybe four, and you have a volume level for each microphone. Then that goes into computer and you broadcast it or record it. So that's going to be generally slightly higher quality. It's what you use in studios, whereas a mixing desk is going to allow you more kind of real-time live control over things. So you're going to have a lot of sliders and faders and things like that. So if you want to be tweaking things very quickly, in real time, then the mixing desk is probably a better option to go for. So it's kind of practicality versus quality.
But, you know, Mark, we've been using a Behringer for our live streams, you know, for Thanks for Sharing, which is really high quality.
Absolutely.
You know, and we're talking here about live sound healing rather than studio work. And so, you know, maybe in the context of live online sound healing, maybe the kind of the mixer desk, small mixer desk, is a better, cheaper option than the...
Yeah, it's certainly offers you more control, real time, you know. With the audio interfaces, you have tiny little knobs that you twist, whereas a mixing desk, you have big faders, and it's just so much easier to sort of do things in real time.
Just got to let the cat out. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay. Okay.
Well, yeah, you know, sometimes, Mark, just to add, it's sometimes easier to get a better adjustment with a slider as opposed to those
Yeah,
little tiny
absolutely.
pads.
Yeah, because the slider has, it's a lot longer, isn't it? It's that much as opposed to the tiny little dog, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one consideration,
Yeah.
especially if you're new to this technology, having the slider is going to be easier to figure out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, one of the something I've got going on here is that you know, you mentioned a question there. I missed that one, Gretchen. It's like maybe I'm not seeing all the questions that are popping up and people
So
talking
go
about.
into the Q&A,
Yeah.
and if it's been answered, go to the middle tab and click
Ah.
on where it says answered.
Okay, some people are using the Q&A. That's great to know.
Yeah,
Okay.
flipping back and forth.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, so you got that option to use the Q&A as well, folks. So, which mics work well for crystal bowls?
Yeah, that's it. So we're on to still on condenser mics. There's two kind of main types of condenser mic. There's the large diaphragm, which we're going to do now, and then there's the small diaphragm. One of the main differences is the large diaphragms are kind of tend to have a bigger range of sounds they can pick up, and they tend to quite often warm up things. So I guess you look at large diaphragm mics as the better than reality of microphones. So it can pick up really, really good quality sounds, but it's sometimes better than reality. But there is a kind of trade-off between that. They're great for recording studios because you can tweak things afterwards and get it sounding perfect. Sometimes live, you might find you need a bit of EQ because they're so good, they're picking up too much information than what you actually want to broadcast. So I say overall, you know, large diaphragms are great, but it's a double-edged sword, you know, they can be too great at times. There's a few examples. You can get them for, you can spend any amount of money or any small amount of money on them. So there's a few examples there. The AT2035 is really good for a nice budget microphone. And then you can go up to more expensive ones like the AKG, and you can keep going up to, you know, $2,000 or whatever. So they're great, but sometimes they pick up a lot of detail of the sound, which is great, but not necessarily for live. So if you are using them, do lots of experimentations and see what works with different instruments, and sometimes roll off a little bit of EQ if you've got a mixing desk on the bottom end. Never a good reason to have a mixing desk. So a little bit about small diaphragm condenser mics, which kind of like that. And yeah, they're a good choice for sort of quite often for different instruments that don't require such a wide dynamic range to be picked up. And they're also good at producing like an even overall sound, not too boomy, not too travelly, kind of more of middle ground. So they can be quite good if you're just going to have two mics and you want it to sound, you know, reasonably good just by having those, you know, placed at the end of your sound bath. That can give you good results, and you could probably get slightly better results with large diaphragm, but it requires more tweaking and fine tuning. So small diaphragm can be a good way to start off. I've just listed a few there, which are good. And the other type of microphone, which I mentioned before, with the Shure SM58, is the dynamic microphone, which they're very robust and rugged, and you can drop them hundreds of times. You can, you know, for anyone who's seen the Who concerts on video or whatever, you know, Roger Daltrey just swings it around his head and they get bashed into amplifiers, and they still work. They're very, very robust. You can use them
Is
absolutely
that why
anywhere.
Bono
And
likes them so much as well?
could be, yeah. You don't need any external power, and they're great for live performances. You know, you see any kind of pop or rock concert, and you know, Glastonbury, whatever, most of the time the singer will be using an SM58. It's $100, but everyone uses them. Even if they've got a $100,000 budget, they'll still use an SM58. So they're great for vocals, the SM58s. And if you want to do like a sort of a session, you're doing a guided meditation, you might want to do some vocal toning, some fun stuff with vocal effects, a great choice for vocals. And their counterpart, the SM58, is great for guitars, which is not so relevant here, but also for drums, because you know they can capture really, really loud sounds that don't have a massive dynamic range. And although it's not going to capture it amazingly well in terms of the range of sounds it produces, it's also worth considering an SM57, which is again very cheap for a gong, because gongs can get really, really loud. So it's another way of picking them up without them getting distorted. So a little bit about mic placements. You know, this is a topic that you could spend a year or 10 years talking about. It's a massive topic. So it's difficult to cover everything. If you're using a vocal mic like an SM58, then just be as close to it as possible. I've been in groups before where it's been with people that haven't had any experience of singing on stage or anything like that, and they're kind of holding it like that away from themselves because they're scared of it. And I'm saying, you know, treat it like an ice cream.
So Mark, question here, are you using a mic right now or the built-in on your computer?
Yes, I'm using a mic right now, yeah.
And where is it? What does it look like?
It's over here. Uh-huh. And it's an Audio Technica. It's a large diaphragm mic.
Right, yeah. Okay.
It's just down here to my right, so it's off the screen.
Off the screen, very good. I'm using a different sort.
Yeah.
So just beside me for mine.
Yep.
So, you know, we're all on it over here.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, SM58s are good for a lot of different things. And for sound baths, if you're doing lots of different instruments with lots of different volumes, small diaphragm mics could be a good way to go for a kind of the closest you're going to get to a one size fits all with just two microphones. That could be a good option. And obviously, you know, if you're using gongs, don't get them too close, because gongs can get really loud, as we know. I mean, for example, we were recording a sound workshop a month or so ago, and yeah, we had some external mics, but the mics that were in the camcorders built in, they just couldn't handle gongs. It was just non-stop distortion. So gongs are an interesting one. So if you're doing a sound bath and you're just using smaller, more subtle instruments, say you're just using some Koshi chimes and Tibetan bowls, maybe a monolina, that sort of thing, the more subtle instruments, then large diaphragm mics might also be a good choice for that, because they pick up the finer nuances of those instruments. So a little bit about mic placement part two. Lots to get through, obviously. So this is probably delving a bit too deep for some people, but with a mixing desk, you see faders on the side of it, and you want to get as much volume as you can out of the microphone, but without it clipping, because that's when it starts distorting and sounding horrible. So that's obviously an example of clipping. So if it's, you know, clipping somewhere in the yellow,
when it's in the red, you mean, is that what you mean?
Yeah, you don't really want it red, but if it's in the yellow, so it's reasonably near the top, but certainly over halfway, then that's a good way to go. So it's important before you do a sound bath to actually do a test, make sure nothing's going to be too quiet, and also make sure nothing's going to be too loud. So you've done a sound check, play your Tibetan bowl as loud as you're going to play it throughout the whole session. And if you can do that without it clipping, then that's a good volume. Remember that volume and keep it at that.
Okay. So there was this question just come in. So which microphones are best for gongs then?
That is a very difficult question to answer, because if you've got a really perfectly set up room with great acoustics, you'd probably get some really nice gong effects with some large diaphragm mics placed quite far away from the gong, because they pick up a really, really good range. But that's not necessarily going to be the best. That'd be great if you want to make a CD, really high quality CD of them. But if you're going to be doing a live broadcast, then I'd sort of veer away from that, and something that doesn't have quite as big a range would probably pick it up in a more suitable way for a live broadcast. So as I mentioned, the SM57 might work, your little Zoom mic, that sort of thing, but make sure it's quite far away, that sort of thing. So, but the main thing is just experiment and see what works and what doesn't. There's no
correct answer. You know, I think people are going to say, well, I haven't got a big budget here, I just want to know which one to get. You know, I haven't got a lot of mics to experiment.
Probably for live streaming, then you can try, you know, one of the sort of small diaphragms or Zoom or something like that, and as long as it's not too close and you're not playing it mega loud, that can give good results.
So a small diaphragm mic generally is probably a better one.
Yeah, it's good to have two. You know, you can get some very cheap ones, one other side, and you get a nice stereo effect. So it's also worth learning a little bit about signal to noise ratio. That little diagram on the bottom right is a good signal to noise ratio, but sometimes people do recordings and they're really, really quiet. And if you're 6 or 12 inches away from a microphone and you're speaking, it's going to sound fantastic. If you're 5 or 6 meters away from it, then there's going to be so much kind of ambient noise picked up before what you say gets to the microphone, and there's going to be lots of hiss, and it's not going to sound so good. And it can pick up all the ambient noise, even, you know, things like computer monitors make noise. So that's a little bit about signal to noise ratio. Little noises like, you know, I can't really hear my computer monitor at the moment, but my microphone probably can, because it's more sensitive than me, because that's what they do. So generally, with a few exceptions, the further away the microphone is from the source of the instruments, you know, the more background noise is going to be picked up and the less actual source. But obviously things like gongs, you have to factor in not being too close as well, because they're a lot louder. And obviously, you know, human voice, fine to be 6 inches away if you're recording bagpipes, a little bit further away. So it depends on the instrument and how loud it is. So a good analogy is when you take a photo of what looks really amazing and you look at it afterwards, you think, oh, I don't remember it being that bad. I'm sure it's better, but you know, your eyes can make adjustments just as your ears can. But you have to, just like in photos, you have to adjust things in Photoshop afterwards, and your eyes see things better than the camera does. Sometimes your ears hear things better than the microphone does, so you have to bear all these things in mind. Mm-hmm. So a little bit about playing techniques in the context of live streaming as opposed to actual live sound baths, which are a little bit different experiences. So you have to sometimes hold back a little bit. It's very easy in sound baths to get really carried away with drumming sessions and play them really, really loud, and then you'll watch it back afterwards and you think, whoa, that was just a stream of distortion. So you might want to consider playing it like half the volume you normally play it back if it's a particularly loud instrument. So that goes for gongs and drums, obviously. And also some instruments that you play very, very quietly, you might want to play them a little bit louder. Sometimes Tibetan bowls, if you play them very, very gently, they're not going to pick up that well unless they're really, really close to a microphone. So you might want to sort of adjust your playing levels a little bit. And likewise with your voice, if you've got a quiet voice, then speak a bit louder or have a microphone nearby. And it's good to experiment with levels. Wear some earbuds, have a little smartphone so that you're kind of monitoring what you do live. Do a Facebook or YouTube broadcast on your main computer, pick it up on your smartphone, have some earbuds so you're actually hearing what other people are going to be hearing, and you can say, oh, how loud is this bowl going to be? There'll be a delay of 20-30 seconds, so just play it and then listen to how it sounds. That can be a good sort of real-time way of monitoring your levels and what works for different instruments.
Okay, can I just stop you there and check in with everyone? No. I just want to say thank you everyone for staying with us. This is a really long webinar, I know that. We're getting towards the end here. I can still see 73 people. Just hang on, Mark. There's 73 people still with us, so you're doing really great. Thanks everyone. I mean, this is brilliant. It's really great that people are commenting and making suggestions, and you know, really, really, really appreciative of that. What I wanted to do, there was a question there. Somebody said the stream cut out with the gong microphone, suggestion for that person. So could you just repeat what you said about that, Mark?
Yes, thing about gongs.
If you're
aiming to record a really good CD quality gong, then probably a large diaphragm is going to pick up all the dynamic ranges. But in a streaming context, then that can be a little bit too hit and miss. So I'd say go for a small diaphragm or something like a Zoom mic and have it quite far away from the gong and don't play it mega loud. Mm. Hold back on it. So that's what I'd say for a gong.
Great. I just want to say thank you to those people who've just kind of been commenting just now. So Diana saying, you know, so amazing and thank you all so much. So, you know, very appreciative there. Chris saying absolutely and Cammy saying thank you. So, you know, thank you everyone, you know, for your positive comments. It's great to know that you're appreciating this and you're still here. So that's also says a lot.
Yeah, brilliant. That's good. So just a little bit about the choice of instruments and yeah, some instruments are going to translate better in a sort of live streaming context than others are. And you've got to remember people will be listening on their earbuds and their tablets and they probably won't be listening, or some of them might, but many people will be listening on very cheap equipment. So it's good to get as good quality as possible. But remember, on a lot of these pieces of equipment, the lower frequencies don't often translate that well. So if you've got like a really low boomy frame drum or something like that, it may not work so well in this sort of context. And generally, the higher pitched instruments do work quite well. They're very easy to pick up. They really cut through the mix. Tinctures, Cauchy charms, wind chimes, that sort of thing. There you go.
What does that sound like? Oh, I haven't got original sound on. Turn original sound on.
Yeah.
Turn on original sound. Here we go.
Yeah.
How's that sounding today?
Yeah, there you go. That sounds good. Yeah.
Okay, I've turned it off now. Turn off the original sound. Hey. Oh, okay. People saying beautiful. Right. Okay. That's nice.
There you go. That just goes to show. So Cauchy chimes are a great choice. So choose your instruments that work best. As the old adage, you know, goes in this context, you know, show them what you can do, not what you can't do. And that's not in terms of playing, that's just in terms of what works.
Yeah. I'm going to do that again, by the way. Here's another one. It's different Cauchy chime. Oh, now I've got two. Oh, here comes a friend. Okay, so that is with the original sound turned on. Okay, yep. Now if I'm going to turn it off and I'll play it again without the original sound, and you'll hear what it's the difference. Okay. Any different?
Yeah, it was cutting out a few times. So yeah.
Cutting out, yeah.
Yeah, that's the, so if you're playing instruments, obviously.
But this is one of the better ones, isn't it? You know, if we were to do, say, a Tibetan bowl, this is now without the original sound, okay? That's probably cut out already, isn't it? And then if I turn on the original sound.
Much better with the original sound.
Yeah. Okay, so just trying to make the point. We're on Zoom, remember? So that's what we're doing.
So this, you know, choose your instruments well. As Tony's demonstrated, things like Cauchy chimes that are just the perfect middle ground for frequencies that are going to sound really, really good on a lot of devices. Is, you know, gongs are a bit more challenging to capture.
Yeah.
And, you know, drums with a low pitch can obviously be challenging as well. So, and remember also when you're using two different instruments together, you know, it's not like a real in-person sound bath. You need to compensate for one instrument which might be drowning out another one. So say, for example, you're playing the Tibetan bowl quite loudly and doing a guided meditation and you've got a quiet voice, then people might be, I can't quite hear the voice because the Tibetan bowl is louder than your voice. So you've got to compensate for that. You've got to either speak louder or play the bowl quieter, that sort of thing.
Okay, there was a question there. What kind of mic am I using? Well, what is the brand? Okay, so this is it. It's called an Octava MK01201. Okay, I've had this a few years now, but Octava is, I think it's actually a Russian or Eastern European brand that is actually really good, and they're quite cheap. I've got two of them, so you can have them in stereo or, you know, different patterns and things like that. And I, you know, I really rate them really highly. So there you go. Somebody asked what is it? So that's what it is, and that's what it looks like.
Cool. Very good. So a little
somebody
bit
was saying also, what do you recommend for crystal singing bowls?
Crystal singing bowls. Depends on what pitch of crystal bowl. The higher pitch would probably pick up really, really well with Tony's mic that he's got there, for example. But the lower pitches may not pick up so well, the bigger, lower tone bowls. So it really depends what bowls you've got. But both mics would pick up those pretty well, I reckon. But obviously the lower ones are more tricky. So if you've got higher pitch ones, they're probably better to use in a live sound bath. So a little bit about pre-recorded sounds. So some people like to use pre-recorded sounds. This can enhance the experience for online broadcasts, especially if it's things like sounds of nature. Last year I recorded about 10 minutes of a gently lapping sea, which on my Zoom H5, which sounds absolutely fantastic. And the sounds of nature can really enhance people's kind of ability to go into the relaxation response. So some people like to use them in sound baths, just have them gently playing in the background, you know, rain or maybe not in England because we get plenty of that, but rain or sea or any noises of nature, you know, rainforest, birds. So that's what some people like to do. And the thing to remember if you're doing that is a lot of broadcasting options, as I've mentioned before, need you to select an audio source when you broadcast. So if you're just using a single USB mic, you're going to be a bit limited in your ability to do that. But if you're using an audio interface or a mixing desk or even something like Zoom, then you can have an input from your iPod or your Sony Walkman, you know, not a 1985 one, a 2001 or 2021, and you can have the sounds playing in the background while you're doing your broadcast, which could be quite nice. And sometimes if you've got a bit of a noisy room, it can help cover up the background noise as well, you know. So that's another side effect. It's a good one. And if you're using pre-recorded sounds, sometimes you might want to use binaural beats or ambient synth pads, and you've got a mixing desk, then it's important to remember sometimes it's good to fade these out and in, depending on what you're doing. If you've got like a C sharp or a D or something and you're playing a bowl that's like a semitone away from that, that can sound really dissonant. So you might want to sort of just fade that that background noise out and then play your bowl and then fade it back in afterwards. So a little bit about using amplification, which...
Okay, just a quick question like there. Just going to break it up just a little bit. So someone was saying, you know, is there something on Facebook Live, I think, about is there an original sound kind of setting on Facebook Live?
I don't think there is on Facebook Live, no. I think it's more, you just choose your audio source and it will... do as good a job as it can with your internet connection of making that as close to what you're doing as possible. If there's a bandwidth problem, it will decrease it a little bit.
But you don't have that, but it is generally very good at picking up the sounds that are naturally being created, you know, through your phone or through your mic or whatever. So it's Facebook is really good. So it doesn't need it so much as Zoom does.
No, as is YouTube.
Okay, yeah. So I think Chris, hello. So Chris has raised his hand. How do we get you to come on in then, Chris? Here we go. I'm just going to are you allowed to, here we go. Just give Chris a chance to talk. Okay, Chris, over to you. Oh, I need to unmute you.
I can't see him.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Chris. Great, go for it.
All right, you guys, excellent. As far as your timing, where you're at right now, I know we had a schedule kind of 3 to 5. Are we getting kind of close to the end? My battery's
really close.
Up.
We're really close.
Yeah. Leave.
Only about three more to go.
Three more slides, right, and then we're done. We're done. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice one. Great to see you, Chris. Thank you. You too.
Okay, so a little bit about using amplification very quickly. You might already have a PA system that you use if you're a musician or use it for live sound baths. So it's worth considering this as another option for your broadcasts, and that you can get a more even volume across the range of instruments, because some will be very loud, but the quieter ones you can mic up. So the overall range of volumes is going to be a bit more consistent, which is what you really want for a live broadcast. You can, on most PA systems, take a direct output to your computer or sound card or audio device, which is another way of doing it. And yeah, another option is to have some mics further back in the room that actually pick up the sound coming out of the PA, which can provide a nice quality at the end of the day, because you've got a nice consistent level coming out, and use your Zoom or a few mics at the back of the room that can pick up that quite well. And also you've got a nice kind of, obviously not too close because you'll get feedback. So there's a few downsides to that. You need to have a little bit more technical know-how to optimize how your PA works and understands about mic placement and not having feedback issues. The obvious one being don't put a microphone in front of the speakers, because that's a disaster. So a little bit about lighting. So as you can see, I've got some lights on now. They're very cheap lights that you can get off Amazon or anything like that. That one there's for $75.99 for two kind of studio lights. So it's a very cheap kit, and without them you can look a bit dark, and people that wear glasses, as you can see from the photo, you tend to get reflection off your monitor. So if you're doing a one-to-one session and you're going to be doing lots of them, it's something worth considering, is how to get the best lighting. So you can make a big difference on a very low budget. You can also use whatever lights you got in the house and position them in front of you, so lights your front of your face up.
It's a nice photo of you, Mark. Yeah, it's good.
It's just a capture from the webcam. And a little bit about lighting for sound baths. You can go really ambient if you're doing sound baths, because you're not going to be the main focus of attention. You're not presenting a webinar. You're going to be playing the instruments. So yeah, you can be a bit more ambient, have some nice, you know, blues and greens and purples, that sort of thing. If you've got any stage lights, because you're in a band, they can make great ambient lighting, as you can see from this photo from a workshop in Glastonbury last year. But also if you've got things like Himalayan salt lamps and crystal lamps, all that sort of thing, just place those in the room in various places and it will look really, really nice. You give a really good live experience, live stream.
And Gretchen's got a great setup there, haven't you, Gretchen? For what are they called? Bliss lamps or something? Bliss. Need to unmute yourself somehow. We're not.
Yeah, and they're called Bliss lights. I've tried many different kinds, and those seem to be some of the best. You do have to get more than one set, though, to create a visual. But like Mark said, I think that many people, they're not going to be there to watch. You're not their entertainment, yeah. Even though all of us are very entertaining. They're there to relax and listen. So I think it's good to present a professional front, a professional look. But I would actually say even an ability to tone the lights down once you start playing, so that you can encourage your participants to lay down and close their eyes.
That's a good point. Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Yeah.
So, alrighty. Yes. So I think we're done then on the slide.
Yeah, well, I've got one more slide actually. Just which is a new one.
Oh.
So just a few more things. So yeah, making your purchases as future proof as possible. Like I said about the Zoom, you know, are you purchasing a mic and you might use it for recording your own CDs later on, and recording your own, you can sell to clients, that sort of thing. So future proof your purchases. See what equipment you already have that you can make use of. You might be able to do this on virtually zero budget. And there's lots and lots of ways, if you do your research, to dive deeper. like OBS, which is a program which basically allows you to be a lot more sophisticated in your live broadcasts before you get to YouTube and Facebook and things like that, and you know, have more control over your audio and your video angles, that sort of thing. So yeah, Open Broadcaster software it's called. So it's for the technically minded, but it's worth checking out. And there's just a few links there to different websites that I've used before, and I find them really good. They've got a great range of instruments, really, really good customer service, good prices, and they sell instruments and mics and cables and stands and lights and absolutely everything. So they're all worth checking out. So, and that's it. That's the end of the presentation. Hey,
thank you, Mark. Thank you so much. Brilliant. Hey, very good. Very good. Very good.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So I've already shared a couple of the links there. So we've got the link for the actual slides was the first one. And then the link for the how to set up Zoom was the next one. And those were basically things that Mark produced. And then the team, particularly, I think in this case, led by Gretchen. Let's just see. I'm going to try and copy all these three at once. If this doesn't work, I'm sure somebody else could do it.
Oh, but question from Anne. What about range sticks and ocean drums? Yeah, I think they translate really well for a live broadcast. Yeah. So, so give those a try, okay. Definitely.
Yeah, I think we've got those three briefing documents there. So you can download those. So that's all good. Right. Okay. So somebody said there was a question there of does this mic, this Octava mic I've got here, does it actually plug into the computer somehow with a USB? Well, it doesn't exactly, because this one takes that kind of XLR cable that that Mark was talking about. But it does go into something called, which I've got here. I don't know if you can see it. This little mini device here. It's a Shure product.
It's a tiny audio interface, basically.
It's basically a little mini audio interface for a single XLR in. It has got a jack sort of socket as well. And then you can set it for different settings. It's got a little bit of, and then that plus plugs into the, it's got a USB output. So that's pretty good just for a single mic use.
No, we seem to have lost Tony's audio.
I think you pulled the plug when you moved it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Am I back in?
Yes, yeah. You're back in now, yeah.
Okay. Goes to show. Can't do without your plug. Right. Okay. So thank you very much. I think we're nearly up on the 2 hours. I'm amazed that so many people have stayed so long. So I'm just really grateful. But maybe this is a testimony to the fact this is useful information. The idea of this is to give you the information, empower you to get on and do the live streaming with sounds, both one-on-one and in groups, so that you can keep going with your courses. If you're an existing student, you can do this for your workbooks, your case studies. You can also do this for one-on-one and group work. And also, if you're already wanting to do this and you're a qualified practitioner, of course, then you can just get on and do this kind of thing. And hopefully this has been of real use. I know some people are going, great, fantastic. Really, really seems like there's too many comments there for me to pick up right now. Has anyone been keeping an eye on those comments, Gronje and Gretche? What's coming in, Gronje? We need to just...
You send us a copy of the chat section?
Right. Yeah, we can probably get that. Can you... That's it. You're live now, Gronje.
Hi there. I think we will probably need to email also the links to the Amazon... to the PDFs, as some people, Kate was saying that she can't actually, it's saying she's access denied. So we need just to find the...
I think they probably need to make sure. Can you just check, Mark, whether they've got public access?
Yeah, I definitely did that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we are going to email, we'll do an email to everyone as well, just with these links and a link back to the recording and stuff. We'll do that for sure. Yeah. Okay. Anything else that's coming up, either Gronje or Gretchen, that you've noticed there in the chat that's coming up?
Has anybody done podcasts with no video, just sound?
Oh, Fran's got the PDFs. Okay. That's good.
Right. Okay. That's a good question. A podcast? What do you mean? Oh, okay.
I guess like just an audio recording, audio only, as opposed to.
Yeah.
Could do that.
Could do that. Yeah.
You could do that with all the mics that have been suggested, and then you would save it as. I'm not sure in relation to podcasts, but yeah, you could do really high quality recording.
I think that what we're trying to encourage here, it's part of the integral approach, is we're encouraging that people connect, you know, that you connect with your clients. And if you just leave it on audio, you might well be optimized really great for the audio, but you're not going to have the connection that you need, really. So I think you've got to go through one of these kind of Zoom type channels. But hopefully just with that little demo, you know, you can see what a difference it makes just to do this no cost thing of turning on original sound. And it's worthwhile if you need to invest in the Zoom Pro kind of subscription for a couple of months while we're in lockdown at least. And, you know, it's worth making an investment in this stuff because it's going to really make a big difference. I think that's the point. And it is future proofing you for later. It gives you more flexibility for later as well. So I think it is worth spending a little bit of money if you can, if you've got it right now, to do a really good job like this. What do you reckon? Anything else you want to add, Gretchen or Grania or Mark? Or
no, I think I've said enough.
No, I want to reiterate, though, something that Mark brought up at the beginning, and that is, number one, manage your expectations, and number two, practice. Yeah. Using microphones and mixers and creating sound, and then you move into recording. It's really, recording is a science, and many people spend, you know, like Mark said, he's still learning after 20 years. Yeah. So be patient with yourself and be prepared to spend some time on your own looking up YouTube tutorials and reading, asking questions, experimenting, and again, practicing. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, great. Thanks for that. That's really good. Okay, there's a question here. One last question for Mark. You're not getting away, Mark. Right. Would you recommend Zoom HN4 Pro 4-track portable recorder stereo microphones, 2 XLR, 4 gongs?
I think I can't say from personal experience, but I'd say as long as it's not too close, then Zoom would probably be able to do a pretty good job of picking up gongs.
I would think so. I've recorded gongs on Zoom. It's all the equivalent. Eddie Roll, but you know, it doesn't matter too much. Zoom's similar stuff. Right. Okay. And Zoom video conferencing, the kind of stuff we're doing. Yeah, it does record it. You can save it. Somebody made the point, you know, as audio only. So you can then use that as a recording to send to people or whatever, you know, or for yourself later on. Hey, so people saying, thank you very much. Great info. Really appreciate the session. Answer a lot of questions. Okay, and then also how do we keep connecting and sharing? I don't know, it's a really good point. I suppose the Facebook group is the way to keep supporting each other through this. That is I think pretty much everyone got to hear about this through the Facebook support group. We didn't send out any other emails or anything, and we've got enough people showing up. So I think that's a good place for it. Any other suggestions, anyone, how we could move this forward?
Oh yeah, Chris has used a Shure MV88 for recording a gong and had good results.
That's good to know. Thanks, Chris. Seems like you're on the ball there. Yeah. Yeah, Shure mics are great. Okay, I think that's probably about it. So I just want to say thank you again to the team, so especially Mark for that wonderful presentation, and Gretchen and Grania for supporting and coming in, keeping an eye on all the questions and stuff. Looks like there's a couple of, are there any questions outstanding? We're done on those, are we? Can you send us a copy of the chat? Yeah.
There's just a question from Molly about working on her case studies, and Gretchen has done a really good write-up on how best to approach them, and they should be emailed out to you shortly.
Yeah. That's one of the downloads, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that is coming out. That will be available. There's lots of information to help you with that. Gretchen mostly is... Well, it's mostly your work, isn't it, Gretchen?
Yep. Hey.
Yeah. A little bit of feedback from us, but it's your work. Brilliant. Okay, so look, we're going to close down now. Just want to say thanks for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. And we'll probably come back in a few weeks with more stuff. If you've got any requests, you need support with other things just now, then please just kind of ask. Just get in touch with us, support at Academy of Sound Healing or through the Facebook group, whatever does for you. You know, we're here to support you in this challenging time. And hopefully we've got something useful and interesting to share and to say. And I just want to say thank you to Gronja particularly, because I know that you actually started this chat, actually, this kind of thread in the Facebook support group about, you know, how can we, you know, what can we do live kind of thing. And then it all come out of it. So that was a great thing. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I was just going to say also on Facebook, to continue that, if you have a question about a particular topic, to name it at the beginning, that is what you want to have the conversation about, because then you get the most out of it and people continue talking about that one specific topic. Yeah. Also on the Facebook group, especially the desktop, you can search by topic. So if you search a particular word like mixer, if we start talking about that specifically, and conversations about that will come up. So it's a really great way to navigate without feeling overwhelmed about lots of posts coming up.
Great. Fantastic. Thanks for that. Okay, we're going to shut it down now. Thanks very much, everyone. Really appreciate it. See you again soon. Take care. Be well.
Thank you.
Bye.